Dear friends, before I continue last week's program, I need to urge you to go to www.final-call.us after the broadcast, in case you haven't been there, to research what is happening to the King James Bible and all subsequent miscellaneous versions, such as the New International Version, etc. The changes include all related books, helpers to understand the scriptures, the concordance, notes in the Bible, lexical aids, etc., etc. This also includes spoken Bibles, keychain Bibles, digital Bibles. In other words, the original version is unavailable anywhere. This information is not shared from preachers who may not have heard about it. If they are aware, they resort to excuses why that cannot be true. Since the change is provable by going into your own Bibles, no matter when they were printed, you'll find it is a fact. This development is also prophesied in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. "Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." The reason for that is that the word has become unreliable. Unless a preacher has memorized the 1,100 plus or minus pages of the original Bible, he risks teaching false doctrine. What that means, time is getting short. Jesus said he's coming when it is darkest spiritually. Many Christians have pinned their hopes on the new president-elect, claiming that God has given us more time before Jesus returns. Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be included in the coming rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It'll be available on the Cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas-radio.com. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for all our sins, to assure us that we can depend on the fact that he paid the penalty for all sins. His last words before he died on the cross were, "It is finished." Father God, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness of my sins. I repent of them so I can become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher and my connection to you, Father God. I know that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me on the inside and assure that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23, verse 6. Remember, God is allowing this to happen. Committed believers are researching and sharing what we need to be aware of. There's still plenty of reliable scripture to learn from. That is the reason for this program. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Don't forget, it's on radio, on cephas-radio.com, C-E-P-H-A-S, radio.com. Beloved friends, you're listening to Rita Williams of Cephas Ministry. Today I'm continuing the revelation that the Bible Answer Man has left Christianity. I plan to revisit Pope Francis after I get done with Hank Hanegraaff and the change that he is making. In researching this phenomenon, did you know that Hank has 12 children? I used to listen to him until I found out he was a preterist who believed that most of the prophecies are already fulfilled and they are the ongoing expansion of his eternal kingdom. This would mean that we are now experiencing the thousand-year millennium. I knew that couldn't be the case when I studied the Bible. Watchmen on the wall, watch what is happening in Rome, since all roads lead to Rome. Pope Francis is busy reaping the harvest planted after World War II. An ecumenical organization was set up in Switzerland for the sole purpose of bringing all denominations together, believing they were reconciling for Jesus Christ's return, when in fact the Vatican was behind the scenes running the hidden agenda. Denominations from all over the world joined. Even Mormons applied to become members, but were turned down. The Eastern Orthodox churches were not so easy to capture since they were Catholics and didn't agree with the way the Pope does the Eucharist. Pope Francis has made so much progress with the Eastern leaders of Eastern Orthodox churches that Patriarch Bartholomew attended the Ecumenical Cairo Peace Conference on April 28, 2017 with Pope Francis and a Muslim Sheikh Ahmad El-Tayeb, Grand Imam of Al-Azhar University. This article was written by Carol Glatz of the Catholic News Service and published on April 19, 2017. The following is a continuation of what Carol wrote. Egypt's indigenous Christian community traces its faith back all the way to Jesus, who, according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, sought refuge in Egypt from the wrath of Herod the Great 2,000 years ago. Coptic Orthodox tradition holds that Christ stayed in Egypt for 3 years and that later around the year 42, St. Mark the Evangelist arrived to evangelize in the Egyptian port city of Alexandria before being martyred there. Christianity continued to spread, and by the 3rd century, Christianity was the country's dominant religion. By the time the newer religion of Islam arrived in Egypt in the middle of the 7th century, Egyptian Christianity had already provided the church with some of the world's major Christian saints and had introduced new forms of monastic life. The Coptic Orthodox Church, led by Pope Tawadros, represents 95% of all Christians in Egypt. The other local Christian groups include Protestants and Catholics from different rites, including Coptic, Melkite, Maronite, Syrian, Armenian, Chaldean, and Latin. Egypt's Coptic Catholic Church is the largest of the Catholic rites in the country and accounts for as many as 300,000 faithful. Both Coptic Catholics and Coptic Orthodox refer to their respective leaders as Patriarchs of Alexandria. See themselves as the original Egyptians because of their ancient ties to the land. End of the article. Following is the question whether this Orthodox Church is the only true church. And Pastor Douglas Wilson of Christ Church will answer this question.
Yeah, that the Eastern Orthodox are the only true church because they alone can stake a claim on historical Christianity. I have a friend who recently converted, and I've heard that there are many leaving evangelical churches for orthodoxy. I understand how compelling it is that they can trace their Christian heritage back to before Roman Catholicism and Reformed churches, and I cannot find a good resource addressing this issue.
Okay, just a couple of things. If you're talking about the ancient lineage of churches and bishops and succession of bishops, the idea that Eastern Orthodoxy goes back before the Roman Catholic Church is just laughable. The Eastern and Western Church, they were all together until they split in the 11th century. So that's simply historically ignorant. The second thing is the institutional church, whether it's in the West with Rome or in the East with Orthodoxy, is contrary to their claims. Not an institution that has not changed over time. If you read one of the things you read in the early fathers, the Epiphanius, who was the bishop of Salamis, wrote a letter to Jerome describing how he was traveling and he came into a church and found an image, I think it was an image of Christ, hanging up, and he tore it down. And the bishop of Salamis tore it down because he said that doesn't belong in a Christian sanctuary, that doesn't belong in a Christian setting. So there were controversies over a number of the issues that separate historic classic Protestants from Roman Catholics in the West and Eastern Orthodox in the East. Those controversies did not begin in the 16th century, in the 16th century Reformation. One time, a good illustration of this, I was reading a copy of Augustine's City of God, and I got to the part in the City of God where Augustine was making fun of pagan priests with their funny, pointy, mitered hats. And so he was making fun of the pagan priests with their mitered hats. And I thought, huh. And I looked at the cover of the book I was reading, and sure enough, there's Augustine in a mitered hat. Basically, a lot of this contemporary debate is simply anachronistic. People are historically ignorant. They don't know what the church was like in the second century. They don't know what it was like in the third century. They don't know what happened or the shift that happened at Second Nicaea. So there is a lot to discuss here, and it ought not to be assumed the claims of an ancient lineage going back to the apostles ought not to be simply taken for granted. There's two things that I'll say. One, a book recommend, and the other is just a general rule of thumb observation. The book recommend is, I found Robert Leatham very helpful on a number of things, and he's got a book on Eastern Orthodoxy called Through Western Eyes. So Through Western Eyes, Robert Leatham is a very fine Reformed thinker. Let me just commend that book. Secondly, here's the rule of thumb. If just boil it all down, they pray through pictures. The Bible says not to do that. So if someone bows down and prays in front of an image, a painting, a statue, a cross, a consecrated piece of bread, if anybody prays to a creature, God says not to do that. And so if someone says, well, this is historic Christianity prays to idols, I'd say, well, then I don't want to be a historic Christian. Now, the claim is false. Historic Christianity has consistently, historic faithful Christianity, has consistently stood against that kind of thing and faithfully, and the Reformation was a glorious cleansing of the church. Idolatry is one of the things prohibited in the Ten Commandments. And it's just very simple. You go into the church, and are there people praying to pictures? If there are people praying to pictures, it's time to leave. You just don't do that. I don't want the Lord to come again and have me kneeling or bowing in front of something that a man painted or carved or fashioned or wove or anything like that. And somebody's going to say, well, you're just being simplistic. I'd say, fine. I kiss my wife. I don't kiss other women. That's simplistic. It's also faithful.
Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary at livelyhope.co. We are dissolving our ministry and liquidating all the material we have collected over 25 years at a 90% discount. Books, original DVDs, CDs, etc. at cephas-thrift-shop.com. CEPHAS Thrift Shop. Join our monthly newsletters about developments in church, social issues, and Israel free at go-cephas.com. Cephas is CEPHAS. Till next time, we thank you for listening. God bless you so long. Rita Williams at cephasministry.com.